he started playing Parallax Tides in his deck, in a control deck. And the whole idea with Parallax Tide is you either exile all their lands and in response, Seal of Cleansing your Parallax Tide. so you end up just exiling five of their lands, or you exile all their lands and then you Cunning Wish and Stifle to come back into play effect.
Gather around, people, look at these top eights and admit that the meta has drastically changed. All the decks that you love, they just don't feel the same. There's some cards just ain't worth playing. If you don't cut them, well, you won't cash again, 'cause the format is a changing. Gets blocked by Murktide. If you dash it in Monkey, what good's Goblin Guide? Even Chase the Mind Sculptor feels barely alive. Hardly anyone is true naming. There's even Red Stompy with the moons in the side, 'cause the format is a changing. Avenger used to get in for free. Now we untap with Stoneforge and Cauldra complete. There were games where Mana Bond couldn't be beat. Instead, Valakut Exploration. There's a half dozen new pitch spells that you cast for free, 'cause the format is a changing.
Hello, welcome to the Canadian Threshold, the Legacy Podcast that approves this message. Are you sick of foreign new cards coming into our beloved format and ruining our culture? Are you tired of our opponents trying to drain the swamp when we're simply trying to rain of filth and constantly feed our lake of the deads? Well, the Canadian Threshold is here asking for your vote for the Legacy Council. My name is Quinn Omori. I'm here as always with my host, Jeff Kinsey.
That was a good one.
Thank you. And Brendan McBain. McBain, how's it going?
I'm doing well. Just draining the swamp. That's what we got to do.
When you say it sounds like a euphemism.
What'd you do last night? I was just draining the swamp. Man, this is the public part of the podcast. Let's do that before the show.
Save that for the Patreon or whatever.
We use this joke already, but I can't believe I didn't say MAGA make a Grizzle brand again. That's not going to get us on the Legacy Council. People hate that card.
Oh, dude, fuck that. Grizzle brand rules. All hail the father.
Really? Have you ever in Legacy paid seven?
Oh, many times.
Okay.
Seven cards for some, tiny American flags for all. twirling towards victory. People who don't know, like, keep up with Magic Twitter are like, what the fuck is happening right now?
Before we get into that, should I get into the most important section of the show, housekeeping?
Let's do it. It's not even in the notes anymore. There's so little stuff.
Yeah, I don't have anything. There's nothing going on.
Yeah, we're gonna Jeff, you've done a really good job. We're doing some downsizing right now. Legacy's going through some tough times, and we're going to have to take your stapler and move you down to the basement. We'll bring you back at some point. Like, things are going to turn around. We know they are. Once we get past this new variant and into the spring, things are going to open up again. But until then, we're going to need you to do some TPS reports in the basement, please.
I'm going to burn this place down someday.
I should say, too, speaking of that, Omicron cleaned house and also tried to clean me out, which is why I sound a little hoarse. And that's also why I'm an anti-vaxxer now, because I had three boosters. It's part of our platform too. No masks at tournaments. Masks off. Didn't help.
It's what you get for giving a mask to an old lady on the bus, Quinn.
Yeah, she probably has it too.
Did she like give it back and then you used it or what?
This is the part I have like with. So, like, Liz and I were going out, like, kind of living our lives pretty normally until, like, kind of this Omicron thing started happening. And so, like, I didn't even go to my parents' place at Christmas time. Like, we've done nothing outside of our own home inside somewhere else without a mask on since, like, December 20th. And then somehow she got, like, well, I mean, I might have had it first, but, like, she had symptoms first. So, we got it. Which is like,
it's like
wild.
It's like those horror movies where they're like, it's inside the house.
Now it's all over the place in here.
Well, that's no fun. You seem almost your normal self. You did above average intro.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe a little funnier.
Yeah.
That's that COVID brain fog. It's actually an assist.
I don't know what that says that like aligns it better with my sense of humor.
I was thinking more all my usual stupid thoughts. I'm like, I can't reach those right now. It's just like just the good stuff's left. It's not much of it.
Jeff, you're feeling fine. You don't have any of this
Omicron. All clear, man. We did over the period of December, we did, I think, the household, you know, we did maybe four tests in total. So you just get like kind of sick normally, but you're like, I don't know, man. Like I was supposed to go to like my aunt's like dinner thing. And I had like a little bit of like a sniffle like a week before. And I was like, okay, they have like those like swish gargle tests or whatever. Now, you know, the line's not that long. We just went and got tested, both negative, which is great. Then I was fine. And then Gravine got kind of sick for a while. So she went and got tested and she was fine. And then I think we got tested one more time and we're fine. It's just, it's so hard to discern what's like the every other sickness that happens.
The ghost COVID effects.
Yeah. Like, but I mean, I don't know. We're fine. As I get older, I just kind of feel sick all the time. So who's to say?
Oh, when I first read like, it was like mild Omicron symptoms and it was like muscle soreness, like slightly groggy feeling. I'm like, I'd stay up too late. And I'm 40. Like, that's every single day of my life. I've lived with Omicron in a mild state.
It's existential dread.
This is why you're like almost your normal self. Because you're like, oh, yeah.
I did feel like shit on Friday. But it's like been pretty good. I mean, I made that joke about like the booster didn't work. But I think because Liz was way more sick than I was. Still, you know, not having to like, we weren't like worried she was going to have to go to the hospital or anything. But she had like a bad flu and I had like a mild cold. And I'm assuming there's, you know, different for different people in different scenarios and stuff like that. Like, it depends what happens, but like,
no, I think we can draw some pretty boosted. Clear conclusions. Actually,
it's a good sample size, right?
Yeah, this is perfect.
Anyway, five dudes on my hockey team have it. We're like joking. I'm like, we feel like a real NHL team.
Do you play for the Canucks? Yeah. What the fuck? Right.
They're playing tonight, in fact, and they have like eight dudes. And we're like, oh, it's not good.
Dude, wait, your team or the Canucks?
My team. The guy who runs my team is like, you still have symptoms, right? I'm like, yeah. He's like, okay, yeah, don't come then. I'm like, I was not going to, Tommy, but it sounds like you're desperate. Feel bad, but he's like, no, I hope you feel better soon, man.
And then they're going to show up and they're going to have all the symptoms. They're going to be dead tired, muscle soreness.
What about yourself, McBain? You've been doing good?
I've been doing fine.
You dodged like, the COVID bullets?
Since the new year and like starting, like I had to like come back to work and it was a bunch of people who were kind of holding down the fort through the holidays all took a break. And then also there was some potential exposure. So I was doing like three people's jobs for a good week. So I just worked a lot. And a lot of it was kind of like solitary in a way, a lot of field work and things like that. So I just been working away. and
on the grind.
On the grind. So I played a little bit of Magic. I haven't played any Legacy, and I've worked a lot. So it's been a busy start to the year. I looked at the calendar today. I don't know, not an actual calendar, but like the numbers on the computer. And I was like, how the hell is it January 11th? Like, what the hell is going on here? But yeah.
Yeah, time's just ripping by, man. Like, we had something that's happening on the 18th. They're like doing some construction in our apartment. And that felt like, fuck it. Like, we don't have to care about that. It's, you know, weeks away.
That's future Jeff's problem.
Like, it's so far future Jeff's problem. It's like future, like, comma Jeff's problem. Like, it's another Jeff that has to deal with this entirely. And all of a sudden, it's like, oh, like, that's next week. Like, we have to, like, do shit to get ready for this. I don't know.
Any news happened in the... Is there any, like, big news that happened in the Magic world? Trying to get us on track.
Transition. Sorry, we were helping. I still made fun of you, but
we're still waiting on that refined ban list update from WotC's data they gathered from Eternal Weekend. You know, studiously working away, crunching the numbers to figure out what update they need to do. It's taken them a long time, so I know it's going to be the right decision.
Do you think they're just not going to do anything?
I think we talked this before, and I think it was offline, but like, it feels like they've made the worst possible decision of what to do by announcing before the tournament they were looking at it and going to make a decision based on the information. Because everybody assumes they're not going to do anything ever, right? We're the forgotten format. We're on the corner. They pay one guy to keep Magic Online running, and they just rake in the money from Legacy. You know, probably fucking not that much money, but some. And that's like, okay, nobody wants that, but everybody understands that's what it is. But like, by teasing us and telling us they're going to be evaluating this information and coming up with a ban, you like, by doing this right before the biggest tournament of the year, you're kind of making it like a lame duck tournament that's not that exciting. And then everybody's just like, well, this format's kind of dead. We're going to get new stuff coming in, new changes. Let's make this happen. And then when you just don't do it, it's so bad.
I think that's the thing, is like, why didn't they just say something after?
But yeah, like, that's what, like, I'm saying. They chose the worst way to do it. If they said nothing, people would have carried on and they would have complained, but it would have been fine. But by saying something and then not following up at all is the worst.
Like, there's two scenarios now. Either they're still thinking about it, which is like, you know, like, I know what I would do, but okay. If someone was just like, hey, Legacy players, we know you're anxious. We have some tough decisions. Like, you know, the data presented something that we didn't realize. Great. You know, not my favorite thing, but I accept it. Or if they were like, we think it's fine. Mm-hmm. Sorry, the format's balanced. Here's why. We're not doing anything. I disagree, but like, okay,
right, you're like, this communication is great.
Just like, hey, so you guys gonna like, yeah, we'll get back to you, like, when are you gonna, I guess, when we feel like it.
Somebody check Ian's out of office, maybe he's on vacation.
Yeah, just have a little like bot that shoots him an email every day. Ian is currently out of the office. Two thoughts. There's on one hand, there's almost like this zen approach to it, where like, you know, live every day like it's your last, like stop thinking about future Legacy, just live and play the real Legacy right now, stop concerning yourself, and it's not going to do anything, so why bother, just do it. And then I know that's obviously not your approach, Jeff.
We also can't right now. That's the thing. Is,
yeah,
before,
I know. Yeah, like, and that's kind of like, the other thing is
still that, got like, Thursdays at like Strongholds. Like, oh,
yeah. Like, when those are happening, it's like, you know, for the bigger picture of playing Magic Online, I want the format to change. But I'm happy enough playing the current format at Stronghold. Like, that's dope as shit.
Yeah, there's lots of people. There's definitely a couple vocal voices online who are just saying like, you know, I gave up a long time ago that things are changing, and in fact, I kind of like where things are at right now, and just dig in your feet and get to work and find some decks to play. I think there's lots of cool stuff out there, but I definitely don't like. Sounds like playing leagues is pretty brutal sometimes. I wouldn't know because I haven't played in the last 2 weeks. But either running into like five reanimator decks in a row or five Delver decks in a row sounds fairly miserable, especially if like one or two of them are extra salty.
Well, reanimators now, that's the Zoomer deck. You know, they got their hooks on it and they're just putting up results.
It keeps up with their ADHD, right?
But what I think you were trying to get at, McBain, before we you know, sidecard you, was another format had some changes. Well, some structural changes, which is interesting. Do you want to talk about that?
I think we just need to tell the audience that we're going to be a Pauper podcast moving forward. Because it's the only format that has this like community controlled kind of input on ban list and stuff like
commander.
That.
Alice.
Or commander.
Old school.
All we have is like road signs. But.
Yeah, well, you know, as our local Pauper champion of one tournament that we did and no others, I will step in and ensure Evan Carr's justice is always legal.
Which is why you're not on the Pauper format panel, not Pauper format.
I don't even think that card is close to playable these days.
You would know if, like Gavin Verhey, you love Pauper. If 15 years ago you started playing the format on Magic Online, which is what he started doing, which is why today, which was actually January 10th, he wants to announce something big for Pauper. The Pauper format panel. Which is six people? Six people? I think
they're not named, right? This is like a future plan.
No, no, they're all there. They have.
Oh shit!
Yeah, if you actually watch this video, or like show up for anything Magic related, maybe more on that later if you actually have or not. But he actually has a video, and then he just says, you know, how about I let the people introduce themselves, and it like cuts between. The seven or eight people who are doing it.
Oh, perfect.
And they kind of talk about who they are. Six. And then they talk about who they are, their experience with Pauper. And then they talk about just like how cool Pauper is and why they like it.
I did go to the page and just control F Alex Ullman. And I was like, okay, yeah, good. He's there.
I think from a legacy player's perspective, that was probably the number one legacy player's like, I wonder if they have Alex. Oh, yeah, they got Alex. Okay, cool.
This is cool.
I'm once again in awe of Watsi's ability to get people to do their jobs and also not pay them. So congrats to them on another fucking slam dunk there.
It is a great like hustle, right? It's like incredible. You end up with, because like there's stuff like, you know, like we were talking about like pre-modern or old school or whatever, where there's like a community ban list, but like those aren't supported formats. And like Pauper's not the most supported format, but you can do a Pauper league. They run Pauper like challenges and events, and they just totally outsource the work to people.
And it's not even like Commander. Like, you know, like I'm not that they want to, I'm sure, but if they were like, we want to fire Sheldon, they couldn't do that. People would lose their minds. Way of control, you know, like the commander ban list, but they can like fire Alex if you like, you know, says something on Hasbro or does something they don't like, and they pay him $0. You know,
do we know that?
Well,
I'm assuming that's probably a safe assumption.
We need to get some Hasbro swag.
Stock.
Yeah, we got the Alex financial disclosure here.
So I kind of like the explanation where it's not, they don't have the final say on things, but most of the time, the recommendations that the PFP, most of the time, the recommendations that the PFP make would be enacted, which is pretty cool. One thing that stuck out to me on the reasoning was they were saying that they didn't internally have a lot of people who had experience in Pauper. And I definitely know that there's like, this was even pointed out on Reddit by Josh Monks and a couple other people, but there's a lot of people who show up at MOX down in Seattle and will play Legacy. And like they know the format and they can keep up with things. And they're all on the keep days around plan. They're bought into that. So we're happy there.
Is that information there about days?
I'm just kind of editorializing and just saying that's that's what I want to have happen. So I'm putting
you heard it here first on the Canadian Threshold. Days not in danger.
Pro days.
Get wrecked. Anyone who doesn't play around days and thinks it was a bad beat.
But like they actually have people who like have played Legacy in the past, continue to play, like even some of the pros, like Reed Duke will do Legacy articles and stuff like that. Like there's a lot of people who really care about Legacy, and those people are on both sides of the fence. So it's not like there's this dearth of knowledge internally about Legacy. They have the skills. They just lack the willpower and effort to actually do something about it. But the point about Pauper being like this kind of little redheaded stepchild that no one's really ever cared about, and they needed some expertise. I think it's an interesting choice, and it'll be neat to see how it works out.
It is like Pauper's in kind of a unique situation too, where, well, not even kind of, it is a unique situation. Like we complain about cards getting printed into Legacy that are like, you know, stupid or like commander cards or whatever that are just, I don't know, they're built to go into the format. I mean, like Modern Horizon stuff, right? Like it's getting shoved into a format and that's kind of the intention. But Pauper like runs into issues just even from stuff getting like downshifted. And like that's not a controllable function, right? A lot of stuff that happens in Pauper isn't like this card is busted or like what were they thinking designing this thing? It's just like, yeah, it's a draft linchpin and it's common for that draft format and through the rules of the format that exists in Pauper. So it really does feel like I would love to see like a Legacy panel. And I think it's good considering they're not really concerned with doing anything. But I think it makes a ton of sense for Pauper where, like you're saying, they don't have anybody who has that insight. And you absolutely need that insight in this format because it has to be like actively curated in that sense. Because you can't stop making, you know, say you make a master set, like downshifting something that makes sense in the format and then all of a sudden breaking Pauper. Like those two things are always going to exist and kind of be at play. So it really makes sense to have people who know the format who can step in like, either beforehand or like immediately and be like, this is going to be a problem, or this is, you know, have you considered how it's going to shift the format this way?
It'll be interesting to see, because I know this has happened in Commander a few times where like a card is released or spoiled or something. And then almost immediately there's like a Sheldon article to say like, this is the ruling on that. And this is banned. Actually, it's not even going to be legal. Don't go and buy your copies, like shut it down. There's less of a financial problem in Pauper because generally things are pretty damn cheap. But I do like the idea, like there was a couple of those Modern Horizons cards where it just like actually wrecked the format and people were registering like 60 lands and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we just have to start registering 60 lands and we get a Legacy Council. But I honestly don't think a Legacy Council is what Legacy needs. Between like, you go take a sampling of what's on Twitter and what people write about in articles and talk about on podcasts. And there is a very broad range of what Legacy people want. Sometimes we can like all kind of band together and say like, okay, yeah, like it's going to be Counterbalancer Terminus.
Or suck Census shit, Oko.
Yeah. Or Oko, get the hell out of here. Like there's a couple times where it's like very clear, but often it's like, hey, I don't like fetch lands. It's like, cool. Like you can go stand over in that room and I don't like days. Okay. You stand over there. Actually, you can be friends with that person. Like, but
I think the larger issue for Legacy is different from the issue for Pauper. And Jeff, I think you put it really well by saying like, especially in a highly powered set, so like Modern Horizons, like all the master sets, throwing something into like either downshifting something or just like printing a card very powerful, like Chatterstorm was like, you know, the big one at common, makes sense in the like environment that it's in. Mm-hmm. And so for that mistake to make into Pauper, like that's not good, and they have to act faster, you know, than they had been, especially with like Chatterstorm. But it's like from that perspective, you look at that and you're like, reasonable. And I think we talked about it last cast where it's like True Name Nemesis. Do I think that's a great card for Legacy? Like, no, it's like not the worst thing, but like I don't like it. But great card in EDH, like very fun, you know, like you get what they were doing. And so you're like, well, commander cards are legal in Legacy. This shit happens. Kind of shrug your shoulders. It's going to happen once in a while. I think the problem with Legacy is, again, more like, oh, they just like printed Ragavan. That wasn't like a thing where it's like, oh, there's like a unique set of scenarios. You know, like if Ragavan was like a true name thing, you know, like you choose someone, and when that person, when you hit the person you choose, then you make a treasure and it does a thing. Then it would be like, oh, the card still might be overpowered, but be like, I get what they were doing. That's fun. You know, like when you're sitting at a table and you're like, I played my Ragavan, Jeff, I choose you, and I'm going to like bash the shit out of you to steal your cards. And everyone at the table goes, that's very funny. And then, you know, in a 1v1 game, that's busted in half because it's just like you're the chosen person. The card just does this thing and it's very powerful. But the part with like Pauper, all this stuff kind of makes sense because there's more True Name Nemesis scenarios with Pauper because shit just leaks in all the time like that. The problem with Legacy that I don't think it's about like there's lots of varying opinions is the problems of the cards aren't well designed.
Yep, that's fair. That's fair.
Like a council can't make up for like the design mistakes. They can act faster, which would be like a solution. But I think the solution is just like the cards aren't good. Like they're not good at designing cards strictly for. They're not good enough. Sorry, I should say, because they have done some cards that are like super cool, but also those cards existed in the margins of Standard, right? For like the longest time.
I think what would be useful is, I mean, it is kind of what the power panel is getting at, is like if there were a group, maybe a rotating group, look up suggestions for, you know, packing the court, but like just an advisory section, you know, like a people that they don't have a say over what gets banned or what doesn't, but you know, like just WotC reaching out to people who are like in tune with the format and not giving them full discretion to make a decision or something, but just getting like an opinion and doing whatever they want with that opinion, disregarding it, taking it or whatever. But you know, some kind of community management would go a long way.
It's somewhat disingenuous to like all the people who write articles and do well-informed, actual good podcasts, not like ours. But there's a lot of like really great, well thought out points there. There's a whole data collection team. Mm-hmm. It's not like there's nothing. I think there's a lot of good information. And if you sat down or you kind of just monitored it, like you could get a pretty good pulse check on the format, especially if you also had played a bunch of Legacy and you. So like, I don't think that there's necessarily the need for it. Again, I think it just comes back to the thing of action, like potentially changing their thresholds of when they should act. Like rather than like in the past, they always reference this like match win percentage or like dominance or like when it's just like completely broken and ridiculous. And potentially like tweaking those a bit or coming back with like a, we will always do a, for these eternal formats, we'll always do like a quarterly check-in on ban list or something like that and not announce ban cards, but just be like, expect an update on the format. Maybe even that, like, they say, we will not ban cards at this time, during these quarterly updates, but we'll say, like, here's what we're seeing right now.
No, that's great. Even like, was that Historic on Arena? They have like the suspended list. Like, that's maybe too far, but like, something like that, like, just the communication is so good.
Yeah, like a watch list, even.
Yeah, I mean, I think all of it's kind of like a, like the larger problem is, I think to your point earlier about like there's people that like play Legacy and like on both sides of the fence or like on the inside, I don't think they lack understanding about the format. I think they're overwhelmed by their own product schedule, I would imagine, considering every player I know is, and like anyone who's engaged. And like, there's just like, I mean, I don't know a lot about the inner workings there, but it's just like there's so many things also getting thrown into Legacy at one point or another, too, that it's like, even speaking to now when you're like, oh, there's a lot of the Days camp and there's like people saying expressive iteration and like the other reason for that is that they've injected like a zillion cards into the format. You know, yeah. Before it was like Terminus or Counterbalance or Toph. You know, like everyone was kind of like, it's one of these three things.
Yeah, it's the Modern Horizon sets and that faster cadence of Eternal skewed cards being released theoretically should be like commensurately more attention given to the format and like more eyes and faster action because you have to keep up with the fact that you're releasing like 3 years worth of cards in 1 year.
Yeah.
So things are going to wobble and change a lot faster. But again, the idea of part of me doesn't like the idea of just like jumping on any old ban really quickly, like, hey, true name, all this card's broken, get rid of it. And like not allowing things to evolve. But again, that threshold, whatever they have, it should probably be kind of pulled back a little bit. Anyway.
Yeah. So, I mean, headline, Ian calls us up like Quinn's message from James Sue or somebody the other day. We need you, a spot on the council. Good Pacific Northwest boys. We like your music. We like your ideas. What do you say? Come on. Are you up for it, McBain? Take your seat.
Who do we nominate? I don't think any of us are saying yes to this.
No, I think what we have to do, I think we'll be like the Muxus seat. Where, you know, 1 week, two of us are holding up the other one on this little throne.
I like absolutely would say no. I'm not going to do like free labor for like a $1 billion corporation. Are you kidding me? I'm like do my own job.
Like, that's fair.
I don't know.
But what did you do to make your hobby better?
I think the whole concept's kind of a joke.
Like, I guess that is the leverage, right?
Like, the whole idea too.
Exposure will tag your podcast.
Yeah. I'm like, yeah, the podcast might blow up. I guess we can start a Patreon then and then make money off of it. Like, not that I want to do that, but yeah, McBain, the other part where you're like, oh, they need to pay more attention if they're going to inject all these cards. Like, they didn't even pay enough attention to the cards they made. And that's not like us. We keep saying that, but it's not like conjecture. Like, someone who worked on the set literally was like, they didn't test this.
Or like, the amount of cards that are released in the last like 2 years, yeah, with like missing text.
I think like the biggest issue is that like, how do you want to run your company? And you know, whenever this comes up on Twitter, some fucking edgelord's always like, well, they're a company. They're there to make money. Like, yes, all companies are essentially there to make money. Like, thank you. So that like capitalism works. But there are companies, which I would say Wizards was one at a point in time. And there are still people who work there who probably feel like individually are like this, where you deeply care about the thing you're putting out and at the end of the day, you have to make money. So you start losing money. You have to make a change, you know, or if it's not sustainable, you have to get back in the black. But that changed at some point after they got bought by Hasbro, where like the only thing that matters is that they can make more money in a short-term way because they just care about their fucking quarterly report. And like, yeah. That's why all this shit's falling off. It's the stuff that's like doesn't make the most money. Like, they don't give a shit about it, so they like outsource it to people to do for free, which I think is like deeply unethical.
Yeah,
it's like if my company tried to do like internships that were unpaid, I'd be like, we can't do this. Like, that's not okay.
There's also something to be said for, I mean, you definitely hit this too, where it's like the company exists to make money, and that's taken a much harder shift.
And yes, they're making way more. Just pay people to do right. The job.
Like, that's kind of why some of this feels worse at the time. Is like, I think I can feel a kind of like a sense of like hopelessness. That's super dramatic, but like for the format, in the sense that like we are not a format that makes the company money, and the format is getting worse through decisions they're making in the pursuit of, you know, short term money, and we as a format aren't like a consideration. And I don't think I can rightfully argue we should be if your scope is making money, because, you know, the fucking secondary market makes money off of us and nobody else does. But like it sucks. Like, at least if, like, you know, you're super into, like, historic and you don't like what they're doing with it, that's, like, in their view of things they're trying to do. Like, you know, your retention matters. And ultimately, I don't think the legacy retention matters at all to Hasbro. All right, black pill's over.
Yeah, this is such a positive podcast. I got to step in here. Like,
I don't know. Is any of it, do you think any of it's untrue? Like, I don't doubt for a second that there are people who work at Wizards still, like many of them, who care deeply about the game that we all love and share our love of the game. And regardless of the decisions they make it work, they're not bad people. I mean, some of them might be independent, but, you know, like, on the whole, they're probably all good people trying to make Magic work because they love Magic. But, like, that's fine. You know, like everyone does it, has things they have to do with their job they don't like doing, because, like, and that's exacerbated depending on how much, you know, the momentum of your workplace is centered around, especially, like, short-term profit. You know, like, I think if you look at, like, Magic, like, it could have kept running the same way it kept running for probably, like, decades. And I'm not saying they should do that, but, and it would have kept just, like, printing money. And it would have been a smaller amount than now. And if there's room for to them to make more, like, you know, sure. But I think it's pretty clear the pendulum swung in, like, a direction where it's, like, you know, squeeze the most out of it, as much as you can out of it, again, over, like, a short period of time. And that's, like, the trend in business, too. Like, people don't really think long-term either. Which, if you want to get truly black, which is probably good, because if I were in a position to make tons of money right now, I would be making shitloads of it to prepare for when shit gets real bad. And we're not just talking about, like, the game we like being ruined.
All right. Enough of that. I went one just kind of maybe closing point on this. Like, having dabbled and played some, like, Ice Age Alliance format and a little bit of pre-modern here and there and some old school, one thing that's really fun and a breath of fresh air about those is that, like, WotC is just so out of the picture. Like, here, it just doesn't matter. Like, all of this stuff just doesn't matter.
That's why Commander used to be better.
And it's just like, sure, there's not, like, new cards getting printed, but things change and evolve. People are lazy. They don't really research decks. They don't brew. They just kind of copy things, and things evolve really slowly. And then there's a whole metagame, yada, yada. But you're older. You don't play that as much of whatever format it is. But, like, the whole dark, evil WotC Hasbro conversation and, like, oh, why aren't they acting and this and that? It's just like, that just doesn't matter. And it kind of being pulled back into this and hearing this legacy conversation and all this, it's just like, oh yeah, I forgot about all this. Some of those old formats are pretty nice because of it. But
that's why Commander used to be so good and probably why it's so popular. And now that it's popular, they're fucking up Commander too. But, like, because they'd print rares and you'd be like, why did they print this mythic? And it was probably a mistake. And then it'd be like, but someone would be like, except if you play it with this legend from Odyssey, it's fucked. And that was so cool.
Back when Braids wasn't banned.
Now they just print the legend and it does all the things in one card.
Wankles.
Yeah. But there's a secret lair version. So you can get it in etched foil or regular foil. And there's a Women's Day version if you're progressive. So you can get the character as a woman.
So again, the old sets, it's just like, is that MP or HP? I'll take damaged. It's okay.
Yeah.
Like, that's literally the dials you're turning.
So it has a little bit of ink on it. That's fine.
Yeah. Is it ink? Oh, German and FBB. Cool. Like, sounds good to me.
It's okay. I'll just slide the Oracle text into the sleeve. It's okay.
Yeah. But it's just, you know, it's a simpler world. Like, yes, it's way smaller. It's more niche, but I try not to get so hung up on the Big Brad Hasbro WotC thing and just try to have some fun, play some Legacy, play some cool decks. Has there been any cool decks that you've seen, Jeff?
There was a few heaters, man. The league results in the last week, there was some real nice ones in there.
People had Christmas break off and they were just giving their all. They were drinking eggnog, they were spiking the eggnog, and they were fucking brewing.
I need to specifically talk about this Wangaroo 5-0 list, which I love because you look at this and this is just a pile of shit. But then if you like look back on lists, you're like, no, this is actually a modern iteration of the known Dwarf Bugs deck.
Would you call it like Dwarf Tribal, or would you call it Cat Tribal, or like Ninja Tribal, or like maybe like Giant Tribal?
It's undoubtedly, I believe, Dwarf Tribal, because you have things that care about, you have a thing that cares about dwarves.
Okay, but they're all kind of correct, right? Am I right?
Technically, yes.
Dog Tribal. Finally, there's a dog deck.
So this is the Changeling deck that popped up. I think in the summer is when it first started coming out. I guess it was a little bit after Kaldheim, right? Because then you had Magda. And older versions used that birthing pod thing, Pyre of Eternity.
Magda was start of the year.
Yeah.
So a year ago.
So Magda, I mean, it's worth me reading the text because it's relevant to this. One in a red for a 2/1 legendary dwarf berserker. Other dwarves you control get +1/+0. Whenever a dwarf you control becomes tapped, you create a treasure. Sack 5 treasures, search your library for an artifact or dragon and put it into play and then shuffle your deck. So there's a couple of 5-0s of this deck before. I believe also one of our streams we played against this and it was a mess. And I know Phil Gallagher has a video up on his YouTube of one, maybe some more leagues of the deck. So the idea is that you play a shitload of changelings. And whenever your changelings become tapped, you get a treasure. So you're playing basically every decent changeling you can think of. And then also Mothdust changeling. And that one's really the kind of glue of the deck, aside from Magda. Because Mothdust changeling, it's a 1-mana changeling. You can tap an untapped creature to give Mothdust's changeling flying. So with this, you can just tap your whole board and make a shitload of treasure. So you kind of get to do almost like a elvish or heritage druid trick where, you know, you just start casting elves and then immediately using them for mana, because with Magda and Mothdust's changeling, you basically get 1 mana off every, you know, changeling you're casting. So you just make a shitload of treasures and then you can sack them and go find Korvold, which is a dragon, comes right into play. Talk about another, this is a commander card too, right? From the Eldraine commander set. And then if you have a Korvold, every time you sack a treasure, Korvold gets bigger and you draw a card. So then all of a sudden you're drawing cards while making mana. Then you can go find like a Retrofitter Foundry, of which you can sacrifice any of your changelings to make a 4/4. You can find a Clock of Omens and use 2 treasures to untap a Retrofitter Foundry or like any other artifact. Like, it's just a fucking pile of a deck. And you're also playing 4 Urza Saga. This is beautiful. And Quinn and I were talking pre-podcast about maybe firing up the stream in some upcoming dates and snapping this off, because in a time where you're looking at like Moto Leagues and you're like, well, I don't want to play against Reanimator a bunch. I don't want to grind like D&T against, you know, all of these decks back to back to back. That doesn't seem fun. This feels like a perfect protest deck. And I mean, this thing's sick as hell. The sideboard has a Silumgar, the Drifting Death, which is a con standard staple. 6 mana, 3/7 flying hexproof. Whenever a dragon you control attacks, creature's defending player gets -1/-1 till end of turn. Oh, baby. Like, every single creature is a dragon. You can sack treasures to put this into play for free from your deck. Like, you can just turbo this thing out and attack with 3 dorks and you just like plague wind somebody. It's so good. So this deck's just sweet.
Okay, the one issue, or maybe not issue, but like the one thing that I'm really imagining right now is those opening 7s.
When it kind of feels like a lands opening 7, right? You're like, well, I got fucking 3 useless draft creatures.
Like, the opening thing is, 7. Like,
if you open your 7 and you're like Universal Automaton, like, your opponent's just going to be like, I'm not even gonna daze that. I don't think I want to pick up a land for like okay. And you're like, change the outcast, universal automaton. And you're like, okay. And then suddenly the Magda resolves. Like, you know, like it's like you only you get to just kind of cast your spells, right?
Yeah. Nobody's gonna stop them. And you also have a cavern, so you can just cast them all anyways. You got an ally encampment where you can pull them back. Like, dude, this deck's going off.
Oh man, and I like you get to put cavern on dwarf or human and cast every other spell in your deck.
Well, that's what I was gonna say. I was like, I like the idea of just like cavern naming like Tarpan or Horse or whatever, just because it's a changeling.
Mm-hmm.
There's one ally encampment.
Yeah. You just rebuy any changeling that died. You can also go beat down by playing a turn two Valiant Changeling, which is the 3/3 double strike that costs 7 mana because it costs one less for every like other creature type in play. So you go changeling turn one, turn two, you can just cast a 2-mana 3/3 double strike. That was actually the tech with the old version of the deck because you'd play this for 2 mana and then you'd like do the birthing pod thing to go up to 8 mana and get like a crater hoof.
I did not read that the way I never played with this Valiant Changeling.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a changeling, it just costs 2.
Yep.
That's freaking sweet.
There's many limited games lost to that.
Yeah, that seems really good.
But yeah, the spoiler Mariner not by too. Jeff.
Yeah, Unsettled Mariner, like pulling in work here. You got a few Imperial Recruiters. That's sweet.
I do love the one Clock of Omens as well.
Clock of Omens is so sick.
It seems so unnecessary because it's just like, I guess you can get it with Magda. Yeah, I was like, how do you find this thing?
Yep. But
yeah. This is pretty sweet. This feels like a painter deck or something where there's just kind of like a bunch of schmozzle all kind of put together. But
yeah, I need to play it to like see how the lines go because it feels like Korvold is really the main like innovation here because once you get Magda and then like Amata's changing out to just start making treasure, just going and finding Korvold and then making treasure that then draws you cards is nuts.
Yeah, for sure. And then just even the things like Saga getting you a vial.
Two Aether Vial.
Like the Retrofitter Foundry like with changelings is just, it's cracked. Like you're just crapping out 4/4s.
Untap your Retrofitter with Clock of Omens. You're just popping off. Like you just make a bunch of servos and start like tapping your servos, untapping your Retrofitter Foundries. Using your treasures the whole time to make more servos. Like it's crazy. So that's my contribution. This is fantastic. And this week, I'm at least going, I don't know, if we're going to play this on stream, I probably shouldn't play it at all because it seems fun to clusterfuck our way through a round or two. But if it doesn't happen, then watch out, leagues. Did either of you guys see anything in here to pick out that, you know, tickled your fancy? I see there's a Krenko Tin Street Kingpin in a mono red stompy deck.
There's some pretty cool, so just the way that the 5-0 filter happens, what is it, like 15 cards overlapping or something like that?
Something like that.
But so there's a lot of decks that have enough overlap that they don't get caught. But the mono red decks, there's like 5 variations of the mono red decks. So it feels like the metagame is like overrun by mono red decks when you look at this filtered version. But there are some pretty cool ones like the Firefox squad in there. What was the other one? There was one other list. I saw that one.
You're just blinking over the Firefox. Do people know what Firefox God does?
Well, they should. It's been putting up numbers for a while.
It's a 4-mana hasty 4/3. And whenever it attacks, you can exile another target attacking creature you control. And if you do, you polymorph, basically. It's polymorph, right?
Yeah, but it's also attacking.
Yeah.
Dude, that's so good.
It's also hilarious because you can just hit a Fury, which I mean isn't the worst, but you're hopefully hitting like a World Spine Worm.
Dude, hitting a Fury is sick. You come in, you fucking like Pyrokinesis, and then you also have a 3/3 double strike that's going to hit him.
All right, it's not as good as like Emrakul.
No, but Emrakul doesn't get the Annihilator. I mean, you hit him for 15 in the air. It's probably another fucking kind of Annihilator. But...
it annihilates their whole being.
Yeah. I mean, I know, Quinn, you love a good mono red sneak attack deck, and this looks sick. Also, like, you can think of the turbo lines where you, like, sneak attack in, like, a Fireflux squad to, like, flip your, I don't know, one of your two Ragavans. Like,
I also did what I usually do for the leagues, and unlike usual, I was rewarded when I control F for Sinkhole. And there's a Esper list with four Sinkholes. Four, like, forget Murktide Regents. We're playing Ethereal Forager. Because we want to buy back our Sinkholes, obviously. I don't know if this deck is good, but like 100% I'm going to play it as soon as we're like allowed to play paper again. It has that like one of Vindicate, always good. The fifth Sinkhole, really. I know it can hit anything, but it's the fifth Sinkhole.
Yeah, they might have a Jace on 10, but you're going for that land. Like, you're sending a message.
Yeah. Like, what's, is magic about winning or is magic about asserting dominance? And you do that with a cute looking whale.
And like, also Sinkhole. Ethereal Forger back your Sinkhole, then Snapcaster your Sinkhole. Okay, they got a fetch land now. You can't Sinkhole that. Oops, opposition agent.
You're casting so many Sinkholes, you don't even need him to Turok in this list.
This has been putting up results too. I think they 5-0'd the week before also, or it was in the challenge, but you know, whale Sinkhole and some sort of permutation has existed.
A different person 5-0'd.
Oh, that just means it's good.
And with a slightly different list that was also running to fairies instead of a Narset.
Sure.
But the core of the deck, 4 days, 4 Sinkhole, 1 Vindicate, 4 big whales and a couple Snapcasters. Because we came here to Sinkhole people.
That idea of like Teferi bouncing whatever they finally got in and then just going back to Sinkholing them is pretty sweet.
Oh man, Teferi bouncing your whale after you've used to pull the Sinkholes and it's no longer useful at all.
I do like the end of turn Sinkhole as well. Oh, you're done? Okay,
Sinkhole. Instant you. Speed Sinkhole. Oh, I'll keep Sinkhole
you. Like, why did you wait till upkeep? Because I could.
Because I can.
Because I can.
When it life gives so you lemons, good. You Sinkhole.
It's a shame. We've talked about this before also, but like that plus on Teferi is so cool. Like, it's a shame the rest of them sucks.
Unless you're preventing your opponent from countering your upkeep Sinkhole. then it's perfect.
So should we suggest to the Pauper Council or whatever they are, the Pauper panel, to unban Sinkhole and Pauper?
Mm-hmm. That would bring me into Pop. Is it? It's banned in Pop. I guess that makes sense.
Yeah. It's either not.
What's oh, the no, rule it has to be. It's not common on MTG.
Common on Magic Online.
Yeah, because originally there was like two it sets was, of Pauper rules, and then they like harmonized them. They put them together. And that's what killed him and High Tide, I think, too, right?
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, kudos to them for getting rid of like two of the most unfun cards ever printed in Magic, but also wow, boo.
Dude, High Tide's great.
You know what's better than
High Tide? I know you can't be talking about Sinkhole.
Okay, you know what's okay, High Tide makes me think of something else, but it's kind of like a Sinkhole, and that's Capsize. I love me a Capsize.
I have Capsized so many people in Pauper. Oh, man.
Way back in the day when it was like Cloud Post, when you could have both the normal Cloud Post, but then also the Glimmer Post. And you would just get to these end states where you had like one Capsize in the deck and one Rolling Thunder. And you're like, I could just Fireball you out, but I'm just going to Capsize all your cards.
That's the Tron decks.
Dude, Pauper, well, this was before those Tron decks even existed, and it was the Cloud Post decks, and it was just Counter Post. It was so good. They're like, they try to kill you, and you're like, bounce my Glimmer Post, play my Glimmer Post, gain six, go back to
capsize your own Glimmer Post. Oh my god!
Yeah, it was really sick. But like, it's the Pauper version of all of this Sinkhole shenanigans. But your Sinkholes are unlimited, right, Quinn?
Of course.
Okay. Man, unlimited cards look so good.
This deck is also unlimited Sinkholes.
Yeah, that should be the name of the deck. Unlimited sinkholes. I like it. There was a list that jumped out to me only because I've been wanting to jam it because it looks fun. I would say not good, but apparently it got 18th place in the last challenge, which kind of like made my eyes pop a bit, but that's a 5-2 result. You know, things can happen. Things can go your way, but that's the white painter list. And the one reason why I haven't played this in paper yet, other than there being no paper tournaments in our area currently, has been the Esper Sentinels. I need to like borrow 4 of those.
I got you.
You have 4?
Oh yeah.
Oh shit. Okay. Sign me up.
Finally a reason for me to buy Mother of Runes.
But yeah, this deck is sweet. So you're obviously playing Urza Saga, the white cards, but the two kind of like no or 3 notable cards in the mono white list. You're playing Oswald Fiddlebender, and he's, what is this, like an artifact birthing pod effect?
Yep, that's exactly what it is.
So he's a 1 and a white, is a 2/2 legendary creature, gnome artificer, and it's white tap, sacrifice an artifact, colon, with any of these I always look for where the colon is. Search your deck for an artifact with mana value, 1 plus the sacrifice mana value, and put it onto the battlefield. Activate this ability as a sorcery. That's a bit of a womp womp. I would love to be able to like activate Grindstone, hold priority, and then like Fiddlebender and just get Fiendr into play.
That seems like a little too strong for a standard card, but I agree.
Well, yeah, but you're like, you don't have Grindstone and Painter in standard or whatever.
I think the main concern is like just blanking removal, but
yeah,
I agree.
Block shenanigans and like, yeah.
It would be so sweet though. Come on.
I agree.
It absolutely would be.
So it lets you kind of like one pod your things up. Like it's playing on the high end, you're playing a Crucible of Worlds. And it's got Ancient Dens in your deck, so you can kind of like restart the chain all over again by playing your artifacts back out. Then you've got the other two cards that are kind of like unique to the deck. You've got the aforementioned Esper Sentinel. So it doesn't appear that there's ways to pump it.
Nope, just a good value Esper Sentinel.
No, it's just a value thing that you can also birthing pod. And then you've got the Ingenious Smith. And this was the one that I was kind of like a bit of a head scratcher when I first saw it. You play more shitty white cards than me, Jeff, so maybe you can kind of speak to this. But when I kind of like, so it's 2 mana, 1 and a white, 1/1 human artificer. When it enters the battlefield, look at the top 4 cards of your library. You may reveal an artifact card from among them and put it into your hand, rest on the bottom in a random order. So it's kind of a artifact impulse, I guess. I'm sure there's a newer card that is actually that effect, but
is it Born the Weatherlight?
And then whenever one or more artifacts enters the battlefield under your control, put a +1/+1 counter on it. And the ability only triggers once a turn. So you can't just like make it huge. But I guess it's kind of like a white bad Tarmogoyf that is kind of like a draw card. So like it's one of those things that
literally half the deck's artifacts.
Yeah. It when I look at it, I'm like, this seems like really innocuous and kind of crappy. Like, I don't know, but I'm sure like in most games, they're like, your opponent says like, okay, sure. Yeah, fine. Yeah. Okay. You put an artifact in your hand. Cool. You have a 1/1 that draws a card. And then 4 turns later, they're like, why is this thing so large? And why is it killing me?
It's a thing you could daze, I think, but like you can't, like you're not going to like spend a force of will on this. And it's even like probably feels bad spending removal on it until you have to. It's in that like sweet spot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Of, like it's just not quite threatening enough until it is.
It's the mono white glint nest crane.
That's better than crane.
It is. Crane. It doesn't fly, but it does get bigger. The card's sweet. I mean, this deck is sweet too. And this is really, here's my intake on shitty white cards is from watching Aspiring Spike play Modern. he was pioneering like a basically this exact same deck in Modern.
You said Modern, not Pioneer. but continue.
So he was playing an awesome Fiddlebender deck in Modern with, you know, Esper Sentinels, Ingenious Smiths, basically this whole thing minus Retrohitter Foundry and Painter, and putting up a bunch of results with it. He had, I believe, Stoneforge in that deck because you got to play, it's a 3-mana artifact. It's in Modern Horizons. Nettlecyst. It gives things +1/+1 for the artifact and enchantment you have.
Yeah, it's so kind of like a germ cranial plating thing.
Yeah, so you chuck that on like an Esper Sentinel and, you know, you're just drawing cards like crazy. And then, yeah, the Smiths just get big. And like you guys are talking about, it's not anything, oh, I better counter this right now. But, you know, it's a thing that's almost guaranteed to draw a card with some selection. And then it just also gets big. It's in that sweet spot of just you have to care about it eventually.
Yeah, so like if you have one removal spell,
one
removal spell or one force of will, like you're not spending on Ingenious Smith because you're waiting for Painter Servant. And then
that's one.
Yeah,
that's one thing that I've always loved about the Painter decks is that your opponents have to respect something.
Like it's if not... they can't respect me, they'll at least respect my deck.
Exactly. There's always a bit of a fear that they have. And it's not that they like, and they can't go like all in on that because like you're just going to kind of just advance other game plans. But they have to always say, like, okay, well, this is what I'm going to do. Well, wait a second. Like, what if this Fiddlebender all of a sudden finds this and they have the other piece in their hand and then I just die? And they go, okay, well, I got to do something differently. And meanwhile, you're just, you know, drawing your cards, making your Smith grow. Like, yeah, I'm looking forward to borrowing your 4 Esper Sentinels, Jeff, and sure, jamming this.
It's definitely the closest to a like mono red Painter list that any other color Painter has been, because you lose like Welders, you lose Engineers, but Fiddlebender and the Smith itself give you that kind of leverage to find things or tinker with your deck.
I have 4 coming in the mail.
And I also heard,
Oswald Fiddlebender, sorry.
Ah.
And I also have 2 Flagstones coming, and I don't know why.
You've been eyeing up some cleansing Wildfire decks?
I don't know. I mean, they were cheap, so it was
Tristan O'Loughlin's been talking to you.
I think I picked up one as well when they were cheap. Jeff, has there been anything that's jumped out for you in this like legacy grab bag of decks?
Just that dwarf deck, man. That thing's the coolest one for me on here. There is something I think collectively we should all shout out. Sylvia Wataru playing basically 2012, yes, not Rug Delver, Canadian Threshold.
The goose still loose after all these years? Are you kidding me?
The only new cards in that whole thing were Force of Negation. I think there's 2. And if you look at new things like structurally for the time, the only thing that's new is like one Meltdown, which that could have existed back then. Maybe some psycho was playing Frogmites. so yeah, that's fantastic. Love to see it. Absolutely love to see it.
I just want to say for a second that Meltdown can't kill Frogmite.
It can't?
Yeah, I was going to say,
is it, read Meltdown.
Is it non-creature?
Destroy each artifact with total casting cost X or less.
Yeah, yeah, I don't think Frogmite.
Technically.
Yeah, pay yeah, but 5, easy.
No self-respecting Canadian Threshold deck is going to have 5 mana. You got your Winter Orb going. You got all sorts of craziness.
Clearly, I meant the people playing the Frogmite flavor of deck.
interesting their selection of the 1 Forkbolt, and they're splitting the Spell Pierce, Spell Snare.
That's classic Canadian Threshold.
Yeah, classic. Like sometimes, you know, you go down on the snares and go up on the pierces. Like these are the dials we're tweaking
the
here.
Think about
yeah.
this. Is Snare even good right now?
Counter the Oswald Fiddlebender.
Well, actually, though,
counters Magda.
I don't even know. I respect the shit out of it more so because I'm like, what does Snare hit right now?
Your opponent's like ego when they go to cast a card and then you're just like, oh, tap one, spell snare that. And they just go like, ooh.
It never doesn't feel great. Like, just always, you're like, spell snare. Like, spell pierce could have done the job. It doesn't matter because spell snare just feels better.
Always a blind side.
Ugh. I just respect the hell of it. Anytime I put Blade Age on the stack and my opponent Force of Wills, sure, you got to do what you got to do. When they spell snare me, I'm just like, pass a turn. I had other plays, but you just go. I'm done here.
It's a beautiful deck.
It's so good. It's so good. I know that kind of lit the Discord on fire when that showed up too, or the Slack channel. It's just honk, 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 honk.
And I definitely remember like getting when Fishduggery was first getting into Legacy, and I kind of lent him the Canadian Threshold deck, and it's just like, here you go, bud, like make it work. And it's just like the least powerful piece of crap sometimes, but you kind of have all the tools and you can make it work. No, yeah. You cast the Daze when they have their one open fetch land mana, and you're like, do you feel lucky?
We were talking about this also in the group chat, where someone accurately was like, Goyf feels like the most unquin card of all time, which is always how I felt when I look at a Tarmogoyf. But I have all these cards now, except for Tarmogoyf. Like, I own every single card in the 75. That's Do I finally buy Tarmogoyfs?
They're cheap.
Yeah, it might be time. This is like, I think we talked about this too. It's like, should I buy Uros? No. Should I buy Tarmogoyfs? Yeah, now's the time. It's the right time to buy Tarmogoyfs. Buy in.
It's the Marshall Sutcliffe meme of like, yeah. No, yes.
Yeah. Uros, no, too powerful, too good. Tarmogoyf.
2022 is the year of the goose.
Oh, when's the last time you submerged something? I don't even remember when.
I feel like it was in Battle Box playing off the same stack of cards.
Oh, that's good.
I played over the holiday break. I played so much Battle Box. I definitely had, like, my brother, like, he rarely plays Magic. Like, he only basically plays this Battle Box with me every holiday. And he's always such a dumbass and just, like, doesn't read cards and thinks he remembers everything. So he goes to like submerge something of mine, like mid combat. He's like, haha. I'm like, I don't have a forced yet, you idiot. And then like make some trade. And then I just like, and now I'm just like, not going to play this forest. And then I just kept it out of play forever.
The Skullgari Guildgate will get me there.
Yeah. Yeah. Submerge so good. Dukes has been playing a bunch of depths lately. There's a bunch of people playing depths, but that. I'm always torn with the depths list. I know I saw one, I don't know if it was Dukes or someone else playing it, but they were playing some Witherbloom commands in the deck as like, you know, there's often where you just like need to get one land back, which is fine. Like that's cool. But the fact that you get to like mill as well randomly against some cheeky Doomsday player, like that's, ooh, now we're cooking. Yeah, some of the depth lists are pretty sweet.
It's nice to see the innovation coming around there. And like Witherbloom Command's really strong. Being able to kill like dorky things. The like mini Abrupt Decay mode is like super sick.
Yeah, man, this card's pretty good.
Yep.
I played Jeff White's that dark.
Dark band he puts the sideboard guide for.
Yeah, when I just kind of copied and pasted it and played it, minus like some fetch lands and duels, I had to kind of like rearrange the mana base to be like four times as bad, but kind of sort of there. And that deck was really powerful. But the Witherbloom commands were awesome. I definitely got to kill Best Kevin on Doomsday by Witherbloom commanding him at one point. And he also, my like, God. I boarded in Raven's Crime against him. I was like, I don't know, this is a card. Like, he goes to like Thoughtseize me before he goes off on Doomsday and he sees Raven's crime and he's like, oh my God. And he had to like rearrange his whole, all of his lines. Anyway, going off.
We have mind twists at home.
I don't think we want to talk about the challenge results, do we?
I don't think there's anything that interesting in it, to be honest.
I just mentioned Doomsday. There was a bunch of Doomsday.
Yeah.
There's
Days Undoing deck one, which is like, I feel like part of me wants to say kind of cool, but also like Hull Breacher Wheel, like not cool.
No, Quinn was playing that.
Yeah, fucking Quinn.
Yeah, that's fine. I don't know. The person who won, congratulations, but they're like one with a meme deck. And it was like, it has like Brainstorm, Six Forces, Source of Blast Shares, Prismatic Ending, and Ponder.
Right, you back got in my day,
memes are wild.
Six meme cards in it. But I mean, honestly, though, congrats. It's super cool. It's fun to win without like something that's like, you know, defying tier one. But yeah. Somebody on Twitter too was like, meme deck. It's like, you know, just the blue, white, red cards.
But it's also nice to see that people are still playing like not just Delver crap. Mm-hmm.
I think like, Delver is super underrepresented, which I think is just like, more fatigue.
Yes and no. Like even in some of the big results, like it doesn't have like insane match win percentages or anything like that. So I don't think it's oppressive. It's just people are kind of done with playing against the monkey, but it's fine.
Like all these good lists in the leagues that are like two monkeys. You'll have a little monkey, just a little bit.
Just a little guy.
I should be playing four, but I don't want to.
So Jeff, have you played any Magic Online or Arena?
I played some Magic Online. Played a little bit. I haven't played really any Legacy for a while, but on the first, which is 10 days ago now as recording, the convention championship was on Magic Online, which for people who don't know, because it was advertised really badly and the conditions were super weird and even just the event was super weird. For the last like 6 months when Magic had God accounts, they were under the flag of like PAX or Gen Con or something. So when they were up, you could sign up on the Pastimes Events website or whatever for special like prelims. And last year they did these prelims to qualify for some of like the actual like Legacy big tournaments for those conventions. And this year, if you 4-0'd, I think it was a 4-0, if you 4-0'd one of these prelims, you got a blue Wizards ticket, which at the time wasn't that clear what it did. It just kind of alluded to an event January 1st. But it was a Modern Horizons 2 sealed event. So I 4-0'd one of these things back in like September with, maybe it was even 3-0, just 3-0, but with Espervile, I 3-0'd, got this ticket, and I was like, cool. New Year's Day, apparently I'm playing Modern Horizons 2 sealed. So, you know, thankfully, well, in some ways, thankfully, because of the situation with COVID and stuff, there wasn't much going on for New Year's Eve. So, you know, I got in a nice bedtime to start this event at 7. Told my wife, I am playing Magic, I believe, literally all day in my room here. So can you please take care of everything? Modern Horizons 2 sealed is something that I've actually played like a little bit of, probably like maybe 3 or 4 sealed pools before. And I did quite a few drafts when I was up on Magic Online because it's a very fun draft format. Shout out to my pick of like favorite set of last year on the last episode. So I feel like kind of confident. And going into this, there was, I think, 157 players, and it was, you know, 8 rounds. But look, the floor of this is free entry because I won this other thing, and I get 6 packs of Modern Horizons 2. Great. So open my packs, just a bunch of stuff. Initially, I'm like not that impressed at all. And I posted in the Slack, just like, what's going on? And these are the kind of directions I'm going. And, you know, I limited Sage himself, best Kevin Mitterreiner, comes in and he's like, you have like 12 artifact dual lands. Forget about trying to do this blue white deck or this black red deck. Just play everything that's good and all of your lands. So we tweaked it a bit and like shoved it in. And I just went on a fucking tear, man. This deck was a machine. You had answers to everything. The amount of times I calibrated blasted people for 9 is more than once, which is insane. I was actually not even going to play calibrated blast at first because I read it kind of like those other cards. Like, you know, like Blast of Genius, there's like 6 mana. You like draw about 3 cards and discard 1. And then you do damage equal to the CMC. Those cards, you like choose a target and then you draw and discard. So like, if you're trying to go face versus a creature, like, you know, you don't really know what you're dealing with, but with blast, you don't choose a target until after. So there was at least 2 games where I just like cast this thing in combat to like, I'm going to kill one of their blockers and swing in. And then I hit this like 9 mana affinity for artifact thing. And I was like, oh, like they're at 9 or less life. Okay. Killed you. Like, see you later. Match win. So I finished the Swiss at 7-1, which is insane. I was so hyped, man, getting locked for top 8. And like, even just getting to draft more Modern Horizons at that point is great. But also the prizes were fucking mental. So if you came first, you got 4 copies of every single card from every Modern Legal set. If you came second, you got 3. If you came third or fourth, you got 2. If you came, you know, fifth, sixth, I don't know what the hell you got for 7 and 8, because it was 1 then for third, fourth. I don't know. I can't do science or math right now, but the prizes were great because even one set of those is just boatloads of stuff. Got in the top 8, got the gang together in the Discord. Because, you know, this is serious time now. I could handle myself playing the sealed, but for this, like, I needed to call in Kevin. So we kind of did a little group draft together, put together a pretty cool red-green storm deck. Highlights were casting Hunting Pack for, like, 3 2 turns in a row, which is
Holy shit.
There was, like, 1 turn, and they were like, okay, we just need our opponent to cast some more spells, and they cast a few. And it's like, end of turn, Hunting Pack, and just make like, what, 12 power? Storm is 3, so it's what, 16 power on the board? And then it was like, next draw is Hunting Pack, and it was like, holy fuck. And then they just went off again on their turn, and we're like, Hunting Pack. So the deck was super sweet, but we lost in the semis. So I came, you know, third, fourth in this event. Which, look, this is the best I've ever done in a Magic online tournament. And in terms of like prize pool, this is significantly more than I've ever won for an event. It's insane. So for the time being, if anybody needs any Magic online tickets, please hit me up. I have some to sell.
And if you have good deals on Gilded Drakes, you can reach Jeff at JeffDKK on Twitter, or you can reach all of us on Pass the Message on at Canadian Thresh on Twitter.
Yeah, more than happy to trade some tickets for some Gilded Drakes. So that was so fucking cool. You know, we spent all day playing Magic, and as soon as this was done, me, Kevin, and Quinn just like fired up a celebratory cube bash to force Storm. So, you know, spent probably 10 hours playing Magic and was like, more, let's go.
Was your wife a little hurt when she saw you like more excited than you've ever been in your whole life? And it didn't involve her.
It actually worked out. She ended up having some stuff of hers like pop off during the day, so she was pretty busy. But like, you know, every once in a while she'd just be like a woo and like come out and like clap. And like once we locked that top 8, man, I came out just fist pumping and like, yes, let's fucking go. So, yeah, you know, probably a few checks on her decisions in marrying me, but yeah, that's been like my Magic highlight for a while. It was a great day, and like, you know, getting the updates and like support from everybody around, and even like you know, once you're in those record or the tiebreaker spots, you start getting messages from people that like you played against before that are like, oh, like, thank God you won. Like, I need you for the breakers. Let's go. So it was just tons of fun. Have either of you done anything? I know we're leading with, I think
fan we started, should have reverse order, really.
I've really just been playing a bit of old school events over webcam. I'm actually playing in the what's called the Winter Derby. It's put on by a couple of the guys on the East Coast, and it's kind of two pods, and then it breaks to a top 16. And there's some charity raised and all that stuff, but it's a pretty fun time. It's a good chunk of quite a bit of organization when you don't like, I don't have to do very much, but the folks running it, it's a lot of running around. There's a couple hundred people playing in it. And I'm just playing an Urnamgeddon deck, which is pretty awesome. You get to play some Birds of Paradise and Armageddons and big creatures printed in Arabian Nights, which were like way more powerful than everything else back then. That's pretty fun. But mainly just some old school during the holidays. Quinn, are you just being an arena fiend right now?
Yeah, I won a more modest haul of non-fungible tokens as well, too. So there was during the month of December, there was an event called the Arena Decathlon, which was 10 different format events. It was like, I think there were roughly all like 2 to 3 days or something they'd run. So there'd be two during these periods. And every time you won three, you got an entry into this like decathlon finals thing. So I had two tries at it. I did one and And then the decathlon finals was it was like 7 wins to get like the big prize. So you played until 7 wins, and they were like full actual real matches, not best of one. And you drafted the arena cube. So it was like this like cube finals thing. And so I used my first entry and like scrubbed out at like 1 and 3. Kind of really didn't think about how long it takes to get 7 wins when you're playing full matches of Magic the Gathering. So like we're talking minimum 14 games if you never lose, which I was confident would not happen. And so I started pretty late, and Elliot and Kevin both joined me on Discord, and we drafted, the deck for Arena Cube, I think, is like the deck. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just this Jeskai control value pile with like all the good finishers. And I went 7-1. So now I have a really nerdy like Jace the Mind Sculptor avatar. Ooh. Which I didn't want to use because Jace is a cop, but also it's Jace the Mind Sculptor, and you have to flex on everyone to be like, got 7 wins in the decathlon finals. And when Kamigawa Neon Dynasty comes out, I will own one copy of a Ricardo Arena.
That's the prize?
Yeah, and 3-player
draft. That's sick. Awesome. I didn't know how well you finished. I knew you guys were doing the cube draft, but I didn't know how it turned out.
They did a lot of driving. I was pointing the mouse around.
You did the work to get there, my friend.
There were a lot of like, oh, how about this? And then in unison, no, I don't know if we should do that. The prizes go in my account, though. But no, it was awesome. We had some also, like, we got really lucky, too. I think we were talking before the cast. I presume everyone's marginally familiar with Approach of the Second Sun, but that was a finisher in this deck, and so we're trying to cast Approach of the Second Sun for the second time. It's coming up close, and my opponent Field of Ruins me to make me shuffle. I'm like, oh well, could be anywhere now. I guess I thinned the deck by cracking this Fabled Passage, and then we drew Approach of the Second Sun, and we're just like, wow, I would be fucking tilted right now. So sorry. Kill you.
I like that the common thread between both of our victories are extremely tilting losses for our opponents.
Oh, yeah. Like, just some absurd things. And also, there's all these weird cards on Arena now that they've changed the cards in your hand or changed what they do. So there's another thing where, like, I'm short on mana. Like, I can draw 3 cards with this one card, but how do I cast my next spell? But that card draws 3 cards and then makes your next spell cheaper. And so I got to do both in one turn, and I won the game that way. But yeah, I obviously fun to hang out and play Magic with other folks. And then, Yeah, and now I have a bunch of shit on Arena that I guess will come in handy at some point.
That's sick. It's a shame you can't like liquidate your useless cards on Arena.
Yo, they just sit there forever. Yeah, they really like dialed it in. They learned their lesson.
You get many copies of like Opt.
Yeah, that is a part going back to the original like making money thing where I'm like, yeah, sure. There's always people who are like, and I don't play into a lot of video games. So maybe that's why I'm like out of touch. People are like, oh, like the Arena economy is terrible. I'm like, oh, this seems pretty good. I don't ever like, I don't put money into it. I just draft for free all the time. It's great. I got some decks. I draft for free. I don't know. And they're making tons of money. Everybody's winning.
So should we move on? Wrap it up? I think we've said probably more than we needed to.
Considering we were like, what's going on this week?
This is a prime bullshit. This is a good one. I'm going to jump in and just start off that's cast myself. I already said it, and it would be completely wrong of me to not do it because without this man's assistance and guidance on, you know, at the beginning, near the end, at the end, I would not have many of the things that I do. Best Kevin himself, Kevin Mitterreiner, absolute gas every time. Always a pleasure to talk to, always a pleasure to take his advice on how to play any limited format.
He is a limited genius for sure.
Yeah. I like to fancy myself like a limited player. And then sometimes with Kevin, I'm like, I don't necessarily agree with what you're saying, but like, that's because like the way my limited brain works is like different than his. And sometimes it's like, no, like I have a limited brain when I'm talking to you, Kevin. So, I mean, uncountable amount of shout outs on the show. And that's just a testament to how gassed Kevin is. Round in a circle, McBain.
No, I'm going to go to Quinn.
What?
I defer.
I got actually, a good one, no, too.
I can go, sure. I'm going to gas Nimble Mongoose. Quinn, I
risen from the dead.
Yeah, the goose will always be loose in my heart. I don't know what I did to the Twitter account on my phone because like it disconnected from all my accounts. And I don't know the password for our account, so I like can't get back into that one. So that was my like one Hail Mary before I got kicked off of that account. But yeah, it was fun to have our little tweet actually get liked by a couple people, which was fun. But
I saw that, and I saw like the like photo editing prowess that went into doing it, and I just assumed Quinn did it.
I thought you did it. No offense, McBain.
Oh no, like none taken, please. I even went on to, I don't really have any like photo editing software.
Boot up kid pics.
No, I my weapon of choice is PowerPoint. I can do some
edit that in PowerPoint.
Oh yeah.
Oh my god.
back in university days, like I could do some pretty amazing stuff on MS Paint. And now I can do some pretty great stuff on PowerPoint.
Oh god.
So maybe PowerPoint's gas. Who knows? Quinn, how about you?
Sorry, I'm still thinking about PowerPoint.
Don't you make fun of PowerPoint.
I wanted to send a shout out to friend of the show, Jack Vanilla. We'll link to the episode where he was kind enough to join us. He just his partner and him just had a child, so congratulations for them to expanding their family for the beautiful baby. I would have looked up more about the baby if I were that thought about this, but congratulations, Jack, from all of us.
I saw a picture of a hand, and I believe I was given a name.
Yes, but I would have. That was more. That's what I was thinking. The name would very probably been nice. I was key. Like, I'm gonna like, shotgun this for that's gas. And then I didn't do any like work.
But. Sound like Franco Boli or anything like that.
No comment.
And also, I don't think a magic name. I think an actual
Italian
a civilian name.
I was pushing in for Vincer.
Well, then it'd be like on Arena when you cast a con. Oh, Vencer.
I am Karn.
All right, let's just, we're done. We're done here.
We're done.
Shut it down.
If you made it this far, thanks for listening, and we'll see you all in T-Thresholds.
It's so bad.